Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to this deep dive. We're here to give you a quick rundown, really, on some of the topics your students might be seeing today. Okay, so where do we start? NBA.
Let's do it. The playoffs are underway, and the MVP finalists are out. We've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Giannis had great stats, as always, but it feels like he's kind of the outside shot this year.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus. Most people see it as a race between Jokic and Gilgeous-Alexander.
Right. Jokic, I mean, he's already won three times.
And this season, he did something pretty historic.
Mm-hmm.
Became the first center ever to average a triple-double.
Wow.
Yeah. And he even had that that crazy 30-20-20 game. Just phenomenal numbers.
But then you have Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA.
Right. He led the entire league in scoring. That's a huge point in his favor.
And his team, Oklahoma City.
Best record in the whole NBA. Mm. Plus, they absolutely crushed their first playoff game. So he's got a very strong case.
It definitely makes for a good discussion, you know, with kids. What really makes a player valuable? Is it just stats or leadership or team success?
Exactly. Beyond the numbers.
Okay, moving on. There's a really touching story from Australia.
Yes, in Sydney. Hundreds of people got together for what's now the world's largest Monopoly game.
Largest Monopoly game. How many people?
Get this, 918. It was organized by the parents of a young girl, Allegra Vasilio.
Oh, right.
She loved Monopoly, apparently, but she sadly passed away from cancer.
Ah, that's tough.
Yeah, so her parents did this huge event to honor her and also to raise awareness and funds for childhood brain cancer research. They have a foundation called the Little Legs Foundation.
That's incredible, using something fun like Monopoly for such a serious cause.
Mm-hmm. They had live music. Guinness World Records was there to make it official. Allegra's mom talked about just feeling so proud of the impact her daughter had, even now.
It's a great example, isn't it? Maybe ask kids. What's something fun they could organize to bring people together for something important?
Yeah. Definitely a good conversation starter. Okay, next up, we're going way back in time.
Ancient history.
Yep. To the Sahara Desert. But when it wasn't quite a desert, a new study is shedding light on the Takarkori people.
Takarkori. Okay, when and where were they?
They lived there between about 15,000 and 5,000 years ago, during a time when the Sahara was actually, well, green. A savanna.
Right, the green Sahara period.
Exactly. Researchers found these naturally mummified remains of two Takarkori women in Libya.
Naturally mummified. Wow.
Yeah. And the DNA analysis is really the interesting part. It suggests they were pretty genetically isolated.
Meaning
they didn't show strong genetic links to people from sub-Saharan Africa or from the Near East or Europe, which is surprising because they practiced animal herding.
Okay.
And animal herding, that practice actually originated outside of Africa. So it's a bit of a puzzle how they adopted it without more genetic mixing.
Huh. So they were herders using tools, thriving when it was green.
Right. Using baskets, tools made of stone, wood, bone. The thinking is, as the Sahara started drying out and becoming the desert we know, they probably migrated northwards.
Fascinating. Makes you think about how ancient people dealt with huge environmental shifts. A good discussion point there, too.
For sure. How cultures adapt.
All right, let's move to more recent world events. The passing of Pope Francis.
Yes, a very significant figure in the Catholic Church and really on the world stage. He passed away at 88.
What was the cause?
Reports say it was complications from a stroke and heart failure. It happened not long after his last public appearance, actually.
Cardinal Farrell made a statement I saw.
Yes, talking about his dedication to service, his focus on gospel values, especially, you know, caring for the poor.
He was notable in many ways, wasn't he? First pope from the Americas, the New World, first Jesuit pope, too.
Correct. And his papacy really emphasized certain themes. That focus on the poor was central. Don't forget the poor was a key message.
He also made efforts toward outreach, like with the LGBTQ plus community.
Mm-hmm. And he was quite critical of unchecked capitalism. And of course, his big encyclical in 2015 on climate change, Laudato Si, that was major.
And his diplomatic work, trying to foster peace, a complex legacy.
Absolutely. It could prompt a discussion with students about what qualities make someone a strong, caring leader, especially on a global scale.
Okay, now we have a quote of the day.
We do. It's from Rachel Carson. In nature, nothing exists alone.
Rachel Carson, of course. Silent Spring.
Exactly. She was an American marine biologist, a conservationist, a writer. hugely influential.
Silent Spring really changed things, didn't it?
It really did. Published back in 62, it shone a harsh light on the dangers of pesticides, especially DDT.
Showing how it affected wildlife, ecosystems, even human health.
Right. It basically kicked off the modern environmental movement in many ways. She faced a ton of opposition from the chemical industry at the time, too.
But her work led to real change. Bans on DDT, environmental protection efforts. She even got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, though posthumously.
A powerful legacy. And that quote, "In nature, nothing exists alone." It feels like it connects a lot of what we've talked about, doesn't it?
Yeah, you think about sports teams needing everyone, communities coming together like for the Monopoly game, ancient people and their environment, global issues. Yeah. It all ties together.
Mm-hmm. Interconnectedness.
Okay, and finally, something very timely. Today is Earth Day 2025.
It is. The 55th anniversary, actually. And the theme this year is Our Power, Our Planet.
Focusing on?
Renewable energy. Solar, wind, geothermal, tidal, hydroelectric power. The idea is highlighting the impact these can have.
1 billion people observing it worldwide, is that right?
That's the estimate, yeah. EarthDay.org has set a goal to triple global clean electricity generation by 2030.
That sounds ambitious. How are we doing now, say, in the U.S.?
Well, currently the U.S. gets about 25%, so a quarter of its energy from renewables. Mm. But the potential is much higher. Some say up to 90% is feasible within about 10 years.
Wow. And some countries are already way ahead.
Oh, yeah. Iceland, for example, is practically at 100%, 99.99% renewable energy, mostly geothermal and hydro.
Incredible. Earth Day itself has quite a history, too, since 1970.
It does. It spurred a lot of action over the years, contributed to things like the Paris Climate Accords.
So for kids today, what's a good takeaway or discussion?
Maybe asking them, what's one thing someone their age could realistically do to help take care of the world around them, related to this idea of our power, our planet? Small actions count.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us.
And we'll see you next time.
For another deep dive.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.